On September the 9th, 1965, James Stockdale was flying a mission over North Vietnam. His plane was struck by enemy fire, and he ejected and parachuted into a small village where he was taken prisoner and beaten and held captive for 7.5 years in a prison camp known as the Hanoi Hilton. As a senior naval officer, Stockdale was routinely tortured and denied medical treatment and would spend day after day after day in a windowless concrete cell that was 3 feet by 9 feet. How do you survive circumstances like that for over 7 years? Stockdale says the way he survived is he never lost faith in the end of the story. And you know, if you think about it, that's a wonderful definition of hope. Hope is never losing faith in the end of the story. If Jesus Christ is in our hearts, then we believe what Philippians 1:6 says when it says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." And we believe 1 Corinthians 2:9 that says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." But let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to heaven when it feels like hell is breaking loose all around us. Stockdale says, "I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event in my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." Here's what's interesting about the story. Stockdale, when he was asked who didn't make it out and why, he said the optimist didn't make it out. Now, you would think the pessimist wouldn't make it out, but he said the optimist didn't make it out because the optimist thought, "By Christmas, I'll be out." Then Christmas would come and Christmas would go and there they would be. And then they thought, "By Easter I'll be out," and then Easter would come and Easter would go and there they'd be. And then they thought, "Surely by Thanksgiving I'll be out," and then Thanksgiving would come and Thanksgiving would go. And Stockdale said that's when they would literally die of a broken heart. And that's when he shared a powerful philosophy. He said, and I quote, "You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be." Confront the brutal facts, but never lose faith. You know, I think that's what Jesus said a couple of thousand years ago when he said in our passage today in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble." In other words, confront the brutal facts. But that reality comes with a promise when Jesus said, "Take heart, because I have overcome the world." Zechariah 9, chapter 12, the Bible calls us prisoners of hope. You know, as followers of Christ, we should be filled with hope inside of us. Now, don't confuse hope with temporary happiness. A lot of times people think hope and happiness are the same. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse hope with your current situations needing to be all the way you want them to be. See, we should be filled with hope during those times of struggle, not just when they're done, but during those times of struggle. In Romans 5, the Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Paul said suffering produces perseverance. How do we get stronger? Resistance training. How do we grow as people? We grow through adversity. See, we don't need to run from adversity. We need to embrace adversity, because there are things in this life that we will have to overcome to become the person God has destined us to be. See, this is as close to a formula as you get in Scripture, that the first step in cultivating hope in your life, if any of you today came here and you're just a little short of hope, the first step towards cultivating hope is suffering. So don't curse the suffering. Thank God for the suffering, because it's that suffering that produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and then character, hope. It's not easy. It's not fun. You know, we all find ourselves in situations from time to time where kind of seasons of life come that we wish wouldn't come. Does anybody ever go through those seasons? You know, have you ever noticed in the seasons of life, you know what always comes after night? Day. You know what always comes after fall? Winter. But do you know, you ever see people, they're confused when winter comes? You think, well, when did you think it would come? It's not going to come after summer. You know, winter always comes kind of after those good fall seasons in our lives, after things kind of go our way, and we kind of get lulled into a sense of thinking it's always going to be like this. And then there comes winter. See people walking around surprised. You want to say, how old are you? The seasons haven't changed in the last thousands of years. Winter always follows fall. But you know what? After winter, spring. Springtime's coming. Then summer, then fall again. After a long night, the day comes. So if we would just expect that in our lives, it would not catch us by surprise and tend to rob us of our hope. So when you go through those seasons that you just don't want to be in, there's two things that I'll ask you to remember this afternoon. If you only remember one, that's okay too. But two things I would ask you to remember. One, whatever it is, this too shall pass. In the King James Version of the Bible, the phrase, it came to pass, is stated 470 times. Now, I'm no biblical scholar, and I have no formalized education. I'm sure that comes as a surprise to you after hearing me speak a few times. But it appears to me, if God put the phrase, it came to pass, in the Bible 470 times, he wants to kind of get that in our spirit, that whatever it is we're going through didn't come to stay, it came to pass. And if it came to pass, then we shouldn't walk around with our shoulders slumped over, like the weight of the world is on top of us, because whatever it is you're going through today came to pass. And a lot of us have lost sight of that, and we've kind of adopted that whatever we're going through came to stay. But it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And I don't know when it'll end, but I know this. It's one day closer to ending today than it was yesterday. So that ought to maybe fill you with a little bit of hope. It's a week shorter remaining than it was last week at this time. So every day you're getting closer to whatever that tough season is passing. But don't let those seasons rob your joy. You know, they're going to take your happiness from time to time. Don't ever let them take your joy, and don't ever let them steal that hope within you. In psychology, there is a phrase and a phenomenon called effective forecasting. And what effective forecasting is projecting our current feelings that we're going through today into the distant future. So what that does in our mind, there's a default in our mind, if left unchecked, that whatever difficulty we're going through today, our mind is telling us that's going to continue forever, because we feel like it's going to continue forever. But see, we need to learn to not trust our feelings. I was reading this week. Do y'all remember that story in the Bible when Jacob stole Esau's blessing? Y'all remember that? You should read your Bible. It's a very good book. Genesis 27. It won't take you but about 5 minutes. You should read that this week. But let me tell you what happened in there. Remember, their father Isaac sent Esau out to hunting to bring him back some food so he could give him a blessing. And Jacob, in conjunction with his mother, decided he would steal that blessing. Do y'all remember that? Good. So, you remember when Jacob went to his father Isaac, and Isaac was going to give him the blessing, he said, you sound like Jacob. Come close to me. And he felt of him. You remember? He felt of him. He'd put those animal skins on his arms, and he felt of him. And he said, you know what? You feel like Esau. Let me tell you something. The next time you feel like something that the Word's telling you something different on, don't go with your feelings. Go with the Word. Because let me tell you what will happen when you go with your feelings. When you say, I feel like this is going to last forever, you know what? You'll mess up the blessing just like Isaac did. If Isaac had gone with the Word, he knew. He said, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. You know, let's teach our minds to follow what the Word tells us, not what it feels like all around us. I think too many times we follow our feelings, and we don't understand why we end up in a mess. We were out in the prison Sunday morning. I was talking on feelings, and I asked, how many of you have ever gotten a mess over your feelings? Now, they're much more honest than y'all are, so I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I trust us, all of us have gotten in a mess with our feelings. And I'll tell them the same thing I told you. If you get in a lot of messes over your feelings, and next time something comes up, take what you feel like doing and do the opposite. How's that? And then over time, your feelings will get in line with the Word of God. And as it says over in Romans 12, you will not be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the next time your feeling says it's going to be this way forever, even in Lamentations, I don't know if y'all have ever read Lamentations, but it's not exactly like reading Psalms. You know, Lamentations isn't one of the more uplifting books in the Bible. You didn't have to go to seminary to know that. Just think of the name, Lamentations. Do you know what it says in Lamentations 3:23? It says His mercies are new every morning. So whatever it is you may be going through, just thank God that in the morning when you wake up, His mercies are new. Thank Him that this morning when you woke up, His mercies were new. So number one, this too shall pass. Number two, the obstacle is the way. You know, we want to avoid suffering, but the suffering is what produces perseverance. And we want to avoid trials, but in James 1, it says we should consider it pure joy when trials come our way. We want to avoid conflict, but Proverbs 27:17, do y'all know what it says? It says iron sharpens iron. But see, you got to get around some iron for iron to sharpen iron. If your iron's just going up against some dead rubbery substance, you're not getting any sharpening. Get some other believers in your world and talk to them and work through things with them. You know what? It's going to be some conflict. You're not always going to agree, but God's Word says that iron sharpens iron. See, we want to avoid death at all costs. We want to avoid death, but that's the only way we get to heaven. You have to go through these things. Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He didn't run from the cross. He endured the cross because He had His eyes on the joy that was set before Him. You know, sometime when we go through tough times, you ever find yourself saying, oh God, how long is this going to last? Any of you ever think that? Yeah? Some of y'all don't think much. You know, I feel like sometime when we say, oh, God, how long is this going to last? I feel like God says, oh, Joel, how long is this going to last? And I say, oh, God, how long will this continue? And God says, oh, Joel, how long will this continue? You know, one of the things I love about Jesus, He never gives up on us. When we fail a test, it's 100% certainty we're going to get to retake that test. He never runs out of patience. You know, some of us have been taking the same tests for years or for decades, if not more. And some of us think we have 30 or 40 years of experience being a Christian, but really we only have 1 year's experience 30 or 40 times because we won't ever mature and get past that test. And God is saying, oh, how I wish you would trust me. How I wish you would keep your eyes on me so finally you could get past this suffering that could produce some perseverance and then that would eventually result in some hope. And then we could get on for the wonderful things I have in store for us. But God loves us too much to grade on the curve. There is no social promotion in the kingdom. We don't get passed from fourth grade to fifth grade because there's no more room left in the class. Trust me, God loves us that much. He'll stick there with us as long as it takes. Don't confuse God's grace with the fact that God has an absolute standard. Don't confuse God's grace with thinking you can live however you want and do whatever you want and it's all going to turn out good. That's not correct. God loves us too much. You know what? God's grace costs too much. God's grace costs Jesus shedding His blood and dying on that cross. So don't confuse God's grace with thinking there's no standard. See, we've got to hold on and we've got to trust Him and keep our eyes on Him. We have to consider it pure joy when we face those trials. Any boxing fans in the room? Well, They have MMA now. I don't really watch that. But used to, they had boxing when I was coming up. But way back before that, one of the greatest boxers in the history of boxing is a man named John L. Sullivan. Some of you may know of him. He was the last champion before they had gloves in the bare knuckle, when it was really boxing, the bare knuckle era. And he was the first champion in the gloved boxing era. He held that title for a decade. And he lost. He was undefeated until September of 1892 when he fought a man named Gentleman Jim Corbett. Corbett went 21 rounds with Sullivan. Not only did he beat him, he knocked him out and took the title. Now, it was Corbett's most famous fight, but the fight before that tells us more about Jim Corbett. In May of 1891, Corbett fought a man, his crosstown rival, named Peter Black Prince Jackson. Sullivan wouldn't fight Jackson because he was black, and at that time, he just wouldn't fight him. But Corbett fought him. They met in this match, and they fought for, are you ready for this? They fought for 61 rounds. 61 rounds. Not only that, it ended in a no contest. It ended in a tie. Who fights for 61 rounds? I'll tell you who does. Someone who has a life motto, as Corbett did, of fight one more round. That was his life motto. Here's the full context. He said, and I quote, when your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and blue and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would hit you in the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Remembering the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Fight one more round. I wonder if that's what Paul had in mind when he wrote in Ephesians 6, having done all, stand on the promises of God. See, listen to me today. Failure is not getting knocked down. Failure is staying down. Remember this today. Failure is an event. Failure is not a person. It doesn't matter how many times you may have failed. Those are events. You're not a failure. Failure is an event, not a person. But faith is getting back up after you get knocked down. Some here today may say, you know, I've been through some things, and I don't even know. I don't even know if I believe God and believe in Jesus anymore. Let me tell you something. No matter whether you believe in Jesus, he believes in you. He loved you enough that he died on the cross for you. And it doesn't matter where your psyche may have taken you. Jesus is right there with his arms wide open asking you to come to him for rest. You know, I didn't come here today to give you a pep talk. Try to make you feel a little better this afternoon. Candidly, I've got better things to do than that, and I'm sure you do as well. I came here today to plant the seed of the Word of God inside your spirit. And if you'll keep your focus on Him and keep your faith anchored in Jesus Christ and not on your surroundings, but if you'll lift up your eyes into the hills from which cometh your help, that will give you power beyond human strength, and it'll give you gifting beyond human ability, and it'll give you wisdom beyond human knowledge. But today you may need to confront the brutal facts. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be fun. But you know, who really cares what I have to say? All that matters is what this book says. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. I love what that next verse says in Romans 3:5. It says that hope will never disappoint. Let us pray. God, we just thank you today that you have good plans for us. No matter what it is we may be going through today, God, we just thank you that you are our hope. We thank you that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is our hope, Lord, that every day doesn't go our way and there's tough times that come. No matter the times, we would rather have Jesus with us on a tough day than have the best day without Jesus. I thank you for each person who's here, God. Go before them the rest of this week, God, to make their way straight. Go behind them to protect them and go beside them as their companion. Above all else, we thank you that while we were still sinners, you loved us enough to send your very Son to die for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.